We're privileged to read from God's holy word together as we worship. And this afternoon the reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 33, beginning at verse 26, and we'll read to the end of the book, the end of chapter 34. So Deuteronomy 33, beginning at verse 26, and the context is where Moses is giving his parting words before he goes up the mountain and he dies on the mountain. Hear the word of the Lord. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rides upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the day. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before you, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it, and with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, that is God, buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knows of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated or diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. So far the reading. And we want to focus especially on verse 27 of chapter 33, just the first part and really one phrase. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The theme of the sermon is underneath are the everlasting arms. Let's now worship the Lord with confessing our faith as expressed in the Apostles' Creed, and then we'll sing in response Psalter 183, 1, 2, and 4. Let this be your expression of faith this evening in our triune God, testifying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Catholic, that is worldwide Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalter 183. Dear congregation belonging to Christ, the Bible is full of gospel promises, more than we can count, really. And this evening I want to think with you of one of the rich promises that we have in the Bible. It's the one that we read from Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. One commentator wrote about this text passage, quote, "This description of God as a refuge and a support for His people has been a source of strength to many." Indeed, by the grace of God, and my aim this evening is that God will bless this text to us to be a source of strength and support for us here today. You know, and as a pastor and making visits now in Calgary, but also in Chilliwack, and before that in Chatham, sometimes here in Abbotsford as well, you find out that everyone has struggles and burdens, difficulties that they deal with, challenges in life. Life is not easy in this fallen world. Not on this side of heaven. And it wasn't so for the Israelites either, in Moses' time. Our text is part of Moses' last words. And he had to go up the mountain, and God would give him a view of the promised land, and then he would die. And the people would have to go forward without their much loved, faithful leader Moses with them. It's part of Moses' parting words. Underneath are the everlasting arms. I'm praying that God will make this little phrase be something that rings in your mind and heart for the week ahead, and that it be a melody for you as you continue life's journey. Our theme is, underneath are the everlasting arms, and we have three simple points, ABC. Analyzing this text, looking at the basis of this text, and seeing the comforts in this text. ABC. Well, this is God's promise for the covenant people of God, even as they would look to God and rely on Him. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. It's a beautiful picture, really. Notice, as we analyze this text, Moses speaks of the arms of the Lord. When you look up in the Bible, text speaking of God's arm, you will know it refers to His strength, His power, His help. Even in our family life, sometimes, you know, we want to show how strong we are. We roll up our shoulders and show our arms. In Job 40 verse 9, when God would make plain to Job something of His great strength and support for him, the Lord asks, "Have you an arm like God?" Psalm 77 verse 15, the psalmist says, "Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." Psalm 136 tells of God with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm delivering His people from the bondage of Egypt. Isaiah 63 tells of the Israelites being led by God by the right hand of Moses and with His, that is with God's, glorious arm. In Isaiah 52 verse 10, we read, "The Lord has made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Have you ever thought about it before? What is said in Isaiah 53? You know that chapter about prophesying of the suffering Savior? How does it begin? "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And now coming back to Deuteronomy 33, when Moses says to the Israelites, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Notice the word "arms" is in the plural. It's a poetic picture. It's poetic language stating God will be all out there for you and for me, even as we look to Him and trust and follow Him. Moses is promising here in God's name that the arm of the Lord is for and with His people in all their needs. Indeed, the arms of the Lord, the fullness of His strength and saving power. Notice too the word underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath means literally here beneath the heavens, here with us, among us, in our place on earth. God will be there for and with His people, showing and sharing His might and His power on their behalf. Notice in verse 26, the Lord is described as the one who rides the heavens to help you, and in His excellency on the clouds. What Moses is saying is that the Lord God, the Almighty, the one true sovereign Jehovah God, the God of the Israelites, the God of Yeshurun, He truly reigns over all. And He's the exalted God, the supreme being, the sovereign one in every way. But listen now, this God, He cares for His people. His sinful and needy people. Yes, this you and I may know. Well, the infinitely exalted God is so great and doesn't need us at all. Yet, the eternal God is His people's refuge. And underneath, here below, are His everlasting arms for our benefit, for our care. In any and every situation, the Lord stands ready and able to help and to protect His own. Underneath are the everlasting arms. It's a beautiful picture of someone almighty and sure, ever ready there to support you and to uphold you, to deliver you, to carry you in the daily course of life. With all its ups and downs. Notice too the word everlasting. Underneath are the everlasting arms. As one commentator put it, everlasting arms are arms whose strength is never exhausted. Indeed, the security of God's people need never be shaken with God's everlasting arms underneath us. Notice the text says too, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you. He will say, destroy, and then shall Israel dwell in safety. Imagine the historical context of hearing these words. With Moses, their leader of 40 years, dying, and now entering, and not entering the promised land with them, and the Israelites now facing moving into Canaan, having many battles ahead, many things they didn't understand what was happening. What an encouraging word this was for them, don't you think? Now, dear congregation belonging to Christ, let me take this text phrase and apply it in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ today in the 21st century. As I noted at the beginning of the sermon, all of us face various challenges and difficulties in life. And I know also here that's the case with many of you, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. You and I can be going through things that truly may overwhelm us at times. And you become anxious and despairing even. Perhaps it's in regards to family issues, parenting struggles. Maybe it's marriage challenges. Maybe it's financial issues. Maybe it's work matters and struggles. Maybe it's health issues or certain temptations or other struggles. You have a sense of a heavy heart, perhaps. A burden. Does anyone have that here tonight? A burden that just constantly is there and doesn't seem to go away. Listen, won't you? And hear what Moses says in our text. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. You say, well, Pastor, that's all so nice and good, analyzing the text, but what's the basis for it? And what would you say is the basis for this text? What is the basis for it? You know, don't you? Will you notice with me the basis of this text? Is it not, going right to the heart of the matter, is it not Jesus Christ as the suffering Savior, the crucified Redeemer? Is it not Him when He came here on this earth to make reconciliation between God and man? When He did so, there were no everlasting arms underneath Him. in his time of need? No. Do you understand this heart of the gospel? Surely you do, don't you? Having been raised in the church. Do you love this heart of the gospel? Doesn't this explain Jesus' excruciating agony of body and soul in the Garden of Gethsemane and on Golgotha? Jesus as the Savior of sinners, as God's own beloved Son, coming to bring reconciliation. He suffered alone. He was to bear the sins of his people and to pay the full punishment thereof, even to the equivalent of the eternal agonies of hell. And while Jesus thus suffered on behalf of sinners, on behalf of his people, as mediator between God and man, as the just for the unjust, you know how he cried out on the cross, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And you know how he cried out with parched lip and dry mouth, "I thirst." Why? Why did he go through all that? He went through that suffering in payment for sin with no everlasting arms underneath him. Behold Jesus, and consider him hanging on the cruel cross, nailed to that cursed tree with spikes through his hands and through his feet, and see him and feel the darkness at noontime, and think of it, Jesus so suffering for sin with no everlasting arms underneath him. His own arms were stretched out on the cross as all hell broke loose on him, and God his Father hid his face from him. When Jesus would suffer as sin bearer, as Savior of sinners. And really, it was in and through this promised Messiah and his finished salvation work, what he would accomplish, that Moses could speak the promise to the Israelites that he does here in our text, and that we may hear it yet today as being so valuable and so real still today. It's for Jesus' sake, the crucified and risen Savior, that this word may be spoken and by be the gospel truth for sinful people like you and me, for whoever hungers for this word and receives this word and believes it. If you are someone who won't acknowledge Jesus Christ as only Savior, then you can't know and enjoy this promising word of our text either. This great word, the eternal God, is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And it's not your word for you if you won't trust Jesus as Savior. But will anyone here really not trust Him? Anyone here so live and die without this eternal God as your refuge and having no everlasting arms underneath you? In all your ways, in all your needs, and in all the challenges and struggles in life's journey? Oh, to live apart from Christ is to perish in hopelessness. To live in hopelessness and to perish in hopelessness, even everlasting hopelessness. It's a solemn thought to think and to realize how many of the Israelites, also in Moses' time and after Moses' time, would not rely, would not trust wholly on their covenant-keeping Savior God, but instead they followed after the idol gods. I pray it will not be so among us, anyone here, that you refuse to trust and follow in God, the God of the Bible, your covenant God, and that you follow instead the gods of this world. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of idol gods. I think it's a picture of a. I'm not sure if it was Buddha. I think it was Hindu. Hindu idol god. I saw it recently. Hindu idol god. He had about 12. She had about 12 arms. 12 arms. But they're all useless. They need to be painted. They're lifeless. And Dagon, you know, the god that the idol that the Philistines worshipped. We were told in the Bible it was like a stump, and the arms of Dagon was lying there before the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant. Those lifeless, useless arms, the lifeless, useless stump of Dagon. We have a living God, an eternal God, the one only true God. Why should we worship idol gods? Oh, indeed, that all might look to Christ truly and be so glad and comforted in and through Him, and testify of Him to others also. Notice with me now something of the comforts, our third point. The comforts in seeking and following this Lord, the God of our text, the eternal God, with His everlasting arms underneath us. I tell you, nothing can compare to living life's brief journey than with this eternal God as your refuge and strength, and His everlasting arms underneath you in life and death, whenever and wherever. And what are the comforts that we can mention? What comforts would you mention? Now let's start with this one, with this God and His everlasting arms underneath us. Isn't it true always we have God with us to strengthen us? To strengthen us. Who doesn't need strength and renewed energy to keep on in the responsibilities and duties of life? Can't we all become weary and heavy laden, discouraged, even depressed sometimes in life's journey, so that you lose motivation, you're unmotivated, you lose drive, you lose strength, you lose vigor, you lose energy to continue on? Haven't you been there before? Maybe you're there now. But with the Lord's everlasting arms underneath us, can't we keep going? Can't we go on? Can't we keep on keeping on? In those long and hard and dry and cold times of life, even, that escapes none of us here on this side of heaven at different times in this fallen world still. There can come setbacks and calamities in life that take the wind out of our sails. That's the reality. There can come situations that make your outlook so bleak you ask, what's the use of fighting on in this challenge? Maybe as church family, sometimes you think, what's the use of continuing? So many obstacles. We can never seem to conquer this problem or that. It's well nigh impossible, and it looks far more hopeless than hopeful in any and every way that you look at it. Maybe it's money struggles you have. Maybe it's marital challenges. Maybe it's anticipation of school and worries about it. Maybe it's work challenges, and maybe it's mental and spiritual depression. Perhaps it's just ongoing, growing sense of loneliness. Maybe it's persistent temptation that always seems to overcome you, and try as you might, you can't beat it down in a way. Listen, with God, there are everlasting arms of almighty strength to fall into time and time again. Isn't that the essence of true faith? Falling into the everlasting arms of God. Think of the Israelites here, about to enter Canaan, and having just lost their dear leader Moses, and facing countless fierce and gigantic foes and so many unknowns. They could hear this gospel word: the eternal God is their refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The gospel truth is, God in Christ has come into this world to lift us up out of the miry clay of our sins and sinfulness and in all our troubles, and to set our feet upon a rock and to establish our goings in His ways from strength to strength, from victory to victory. In Psalm 89, the psalmist testifies in praise to God and in praise to His care and keeping in His people's lives, "Thou hast a mighty arm. Thou art the glory of Thy people's strength." In Isaiah 41 verse 10, we read that beautiful verse, often fittingly quoted when God's people go through difficult times. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And then verse 14 of that same chapter goes on to say, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob," because you might feel so worthless, undeserving. "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, thou you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." The point here is, you see it with me, don't you? With God as our refuge and strength, as our trust and hope in life, we have the everlasting arms of God underneath us, ever there to strengthen us. You and me, in all the needs and challenges and cares of life, what an encouragement this is and should be for us then. Will you be encouraged by this word today? Maybe you are so weak and so tired, rather weary and hopeless. Well, why not fall into the everlasting arms of God and let Him uphold you and strengthen you in the way of grace and truth and godliness and faithfulness? Listen to Jeremiah in chapter 32 of verse 17. Hear that struggling and tested prophet Jeremiah cry out to God, "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth, and by Thy great power and outstretched arm, there is nothing too hard for Thee." In Isaiah 26 verse 4, we are exhorted, "Trust in the Lord forever, for in Jehovah the Lord is everlasting strength." So yes, with His everlasting arms underneath you, can't you and won't you be more than conquerors always, come what may? Notice next that surely the everlasting arms of God underneath us, as Moses tells about, those arms are there not only to strengthen us, but to protect us. To protect us. The context of the verse in Deuteronomy 33, again, very much emphasizes this point. God is His people's defender and protector, their shield. He is the shield of thy help, Moses says in Deuteronomy 33. We confess in Psalm 46 verse 1, or the psalmist does, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And we sing on the basis of Psalm 121 about the Lord keeping and protecting His people. Thy protector is the Lord. Shade for thee He will afford. Neither sun nor moon shall smite. God shall guard thee day by night. He will ever keep thy soul. What would harm He will control. In the home and by the way, He will keep you day by day. Yes, that's God's undoubted promise to all His people, humbly relying on Him. What a comfort so to live and to die with the eternal God as your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I preached in Chilliwack today, and a member told me that he was flying from Texas from work, and they came to an air pocket. The plane went down, and the man beside him said, "Oh no, you want to die?" Of course, none of us really wants to die, but this brother from Chilliwack said to that other man, "We're all going to die." And he shared the gospel. And the point is, the brother from Chilliwack had confidence of the everlasting arms of God, even if that plane would have fallen to the ground. And he would have died. The everlasting arms of God are there for His people to protect you, to keep you. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He shall direct your paths. Not only is there the comfort with the everlasting arms of God out there to strengthen us and to protect us, but also those everlasting arms of God are there in battle for His people. In battle for His people. This too is something so much related to the context of Moses' words. Oh, what battles the people of Israel were about to face, coming finally into the promised land. There were many heathens that had to be dealt with, that whose divine judgment had come, and they had to be swept off the land and beaten in battles. And God pledges to fight for His people, even the giants in Canaan, as they entered that land in faith and reliance upon Him. Deuteronomy 33:27 speaks of very practically and promisingly, doesn't it? The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and He shall thrust out the enemy from before you, and shall say, "Destroy them." And notice the next words, "Then Israel shall dwell in safety." Oh, you see, when God fights for His people, who can withstand Him? And the power of His might, when God is out to strengthen and protect His own and to do battle for us, who can withstand His outstretched arms on our behalf? And when you think too of the stretched out arm of the Lord, a phrase found about 20 times in the Bible, at least if I'm not mistaken, does it not cause you to think most clearly on Jesus on the cross with His outstretched arms on that cursed tree. Think of how Jesus, through His saving, redeeming work as crucified and risen Savior of sinners, how in and through Him, yes, with His hands nailed to the cross, by that act of His redemption, we may find deliverance and protection from our greatest and fiercest foes and enemies and challenges in life, namely sin, Satan, death, and hell. He took care of them all for us through Christ's almighty arm of salvation. Yes, we have victory against temptation and sin and Satan and this world. It's found trusting the Savior and holding on to them. Is that what you're doing? This is God's promise. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tried above that you are able to bear. And with the temptation also, the text says, He will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. We sang, I love that song, Hope in the Lord, ye waiting saints, and He will well provide. For mercy and redemption, full and free, with Him abide. That means remains. From sin and evil, mighty though they seem, His arm almighty will His saints redeem. This may be the comfort of God's people in life's brief journey. And already the comfort of the believing Israelites way back in Moses' time. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Yes, the everlasting arms to strengthen us, to protect us, to fight for us, and to accomplish complete and everlasting deliverance for us, for soul and body, and in life and death, for now and forevermore. This is the true and sure gospel of Jesus Christ, of our triune God, as revealed in the Savior. No wonder it says, as Jesus told us in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Do you know this God? In the sense of trust Him, and follow Him, and cling to Him as your only Savior and Lord also in your life. Wasn't that the intent and purpose too of Moses' last parting words and final encouragement to the Israelites in his day, that they would each and all in spirit and truth really, truly seek and serve the Lord? Isn't that the purpose of God too with us in the covenant of grace with baptism, Lord's Supper, and with preaching, that we really seek and serve the Lord, cling to Him? And there's every reason to do so, for notice further, thinking of this text and picture of the everlasting arms that are underneath us, it means also always there are arms of His to catch you when you fall, when you falter in whatever way. And don't we all falter and fail and fall sometimes? We read in Psalm 145, verse 14, the Lord upholds all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. Think of Peter when walking on the stormy waves of the sea in Galilee, and then taking his eyes off Jesus, looking at the storm instead, and beginning to sink in those waters, and he cries out to the Lord, Lord, save me. And we read in Matthew, immediately Jesus stretches forth His hand, you might say His arm, and caught Him. Oh, when we falter and fail, when we go wrong ways and sin even willfully against the Lord, yet repenting and returning to Him, the Lord will come with His outstretched hand, ready to forgive and ready to renew, ready to restore and to help us up and onward again. That's true. This too is surely a most comforting gospel truth for all God's people. Again, it's based on Psalm 103. We sing in Psalter 280 about the Lord. In His grace and tenderness, He will not be angry always, nor will He forever chide. Though we oft have sinned against Him, still His love and grace abide. I say, where would any of us be if this gospel truth wasn't the blessed reality time and again? And it is the special precious gospel truth through Jesus' outstretched arms and shed blood with His once for all sin offering on Calvary's tree. We have a Savior God to fall back on, to come back on every day after every day with all our sins and shortcomings time and again. And with Him as our eternal refuge and underneath His everlasting arms, oh, we fall on something so solid, so comforting. How consoling and encouraging this may be for us. Don't you think so? You know, the unbeliever in this ungodly world has no one to fall back on for refuge from sin and condemnation in this life. They have no remedy for the day of judgment to come before God. But with Jesus, the Savior of sinners, and His outstretched arms for the salvation of people like us, with His nail-pierced hands on the cross, trusting Him, oh, what splendid and eternal refuge we may have. Truly so. Jesus the Savior, who promises so much, also in this word, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms. Are there more comforts in this text? I think there are. What about the next one? The promise also to lead His people by His arm in all life's journey, even to eternity. The Savior is a good shepherd of His sheep who leads His own in the way that is right and true. Isn't that wonderful? The psalmist prays in Psalm 139, "Lead me in the way everlasting." And doesn't God do that by His Word and Spirit in His grace and mercy? Yes, with His holy arm, as it were, ever pointing to Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Every step of our way, even to all eternity. And you know what Paul says in Ephesians 2? That in the new heavens and earth, in the ages to come, the Lord will be showing the exceeding riches of His grace in His loving kindness toward us in and through Christ Jesus. Can you imagine that? The Lord showing us the glories of the new heavens and the new earth with an outstretched arm pointing to this and to that for us to see and to wonder at with overwhelming awe and thanksgiving, all for Jesus' sake alone. You know what? The most beautiful parks here on earth, and the most gorgeous homes and palaces in this world can't in any way compare to the provisions and the treasures and the pleasures and the beauties in the new world. And to be in the actual presence of God, having Jesus Himself as our guide, with His hand leading us, with His arm guiding us, who can tell the infinite joy of that awe? Do you know what it says in Psalm 16, the last verse? "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." That's not an exaggeration. We read in Revelation 17, verse 17, "The Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them," that is, the redeemed, "unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears." That's the gospel. Being led by God, His everlasting arms, that's being led in the way of fullness of life and eternal life. And compare again this gospel riches and truth to the solemn reality that all who do not live and die in Christ, who will not seek after Him, will perish in their sins and have no everlasting arms underneath them to save them, to strengthen them, to protect them, to fight for them, to catch them from falling headlong into the abyss called hell. You know, one of the pictures of hell, as described in the Bible, is bottomless pit. Bottomless pit. I think you find it 7 times in the book of Revelation. And Spurgeon, he writes in his autobiography, a story, a true story, and I quote, can remember, he says, the horror of my mind when my dear grandfather told me what his idea of the bottomless pit was. Because he kept asking his grandfather, what does that mean? His grandfather finally, reluctantly, gave him a description. And Spurgeon tells it, there is a deep pit. And the soul is falling down. Oh, how fast it is falling. There, the last rays of the light at the top has disappeared. And it falls on. His grandfather said, and on, and on, and on. And it goes on falling, on, for 1,000 years. Is it not getting to the bottom yet? No, you are no nearer the bottom yet. It is the bottomless pit. It's on and on into deeper, darker depths still, falling further into the bottomless pit. On and on and on into the pit that has no bottom. War without termination, without hope. That it's coming to a conclusion. How terrible to live and die with no everlasting arms underneath you. You agree how different that is from having in life and death for eternity the eternal God as revealed in Christ as your refuge and underneath those everlasting arms of His. What a gospel, thinking of those everlasting arms of the Lord to strengthen us, to protect us, to stand up for us, to catch us when we fall, and to lead us in the way everlasting. Besides that all, consider too yet those everlasting arms of God, truly welcoming and embracing you and me in the eternal bond of love and peace and joy, all for Jesus' sake alone. I had baptism in Chilliwack this afternoon. Baptism is in a way like the Lord coming so close to our covenant seed, hugging our children in His covenant mercy. But it's just the beginning. If we are His, can you imagine the Lord hugging us really literally in an eternal embrace in glory? Each one, personally, as many as are redeemed. That's the inheritance of God's people. The Bible tells us, trusting and following Christ Jesus as only Savior and Lord, we may have God as our Father and friend forever. Being truly and forever loved as God the Father loves even His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's right. Jesus mentions this in His high priestly prayer in John 17:23, where He speaks about God's people being brought home through Jesus. And then He says, that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Can you imagine? Jesus says in the last verse of that chapter, John 17:26, and I have declared to them, that is the redeemed, Thy name, and will declare it, that the love with which Thou hast loved Me may be in them, and I in them. Wow. Can you imagine it? Eternal embrace of God. Dear congregation, the aim of this sermon is simply but strongly to show you the wonderfulness and the blessedness of having the eternal God as your refuge and underneath the everlasting arms of God. Underneath you, in all your ways, in all your needs, with all the pressures and struggles of life, in life and in death. Remember those everlasting arms of God underneath us, in and through Jesus Christ. I remember when my mother was, when she died, and in the funeral service, I remember the coffin being brought into the church and brought down the aisle. And the organist played Safe in the Arms of Jesus. Not because she was worthy, but because she trusted in the God of Deuteronomy 33:27. God is faithful to His promises. And when you sometimes doubt it, remember those outstretched arms on the cross of our Lord Jesus. And think of those hands stretched out in blessing, those nail-pierced hands when Jesus ascended. Truly, for Jesus' sake, God is a God of salvation for sinners who trust in Him and rely on Him. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, is what Paul says in that well-known verse, Philippians 4:19. And you need to know that God's gospel promises are not empty promises. All that the real promises ends up being empty promises. But God's promises are for real. And they last forever. Yes. For just consider the everlasting arms of God for the salvation of sinners like us, ever ready to strengthen us, to protect us, to fight for us, to lead us, to catch us, to welcome and embrace us. Again I say, when you doubt this sometimes, look again and again and once more at Jesus' outstretched arms on the cross of Golgotha, and remember there were no everlasting arms underneath Him, that there might always be everlasting arms underneath you and around you and with you till journey's end. Someone wrote, "Great to be in His arms, day in and day out. Is there any other way to live?" I tell you in Jesus' name, there's no other way to live and to die triumphantly but to trust in this God and to embrace Him and His gospel promises. May you so do by God's grace, and also be a means by God's grace to help make known this gospel word in a world that's perishing with no everlasting arms underneath them. Oh, may God use us to help spread the gospel word while it's yet the day of grace. This great gospel promise, Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Yes, all for Jesus' sake alone. Thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalter 319:1, 5, and 2 in response.